freedom this morning, and for the rest of this month, we're going to celebrate freedom. I do find it very difficult to comprehend why there's such animosity towards our country, within our country. I hear the reasons. I've listened to some of them on television. I'm sick and tired of the racial card that is being played all the time. That's totally uncalled for. We've gone beyond that. We're beyond that. If there are challenges, yeah, we're going to face challenges. Nothing unusual for any country to have a challenge. But I think it's time that we folks that love the country need to just stand up and say, hey, shut your face. This is my country. It's my country. There are valid reasons, maybe in the perception of these individuals that ridicule this place, but there is no country in the world where there's such generosity. There's not a country in the world that gives as much money to other countries. There's not a country that gives as much aid to needy countries or disasters. There is no other country. So you want to smash this country? I think we need to all pause and thank God for what we have and where we've come from. Yeah, there's some things that we're glad they're behind us. And we've grown. We've matured. But there are challenges, and that's absolutely fine. But this morning, in celebrating freedom, the 4th of July, which is next Saturday, is about the country founded and rooted and established on Christian principles. That's why I wanted the Christian flag here as well. Rooted and founded on Christian principles. And as we celebrate Independence Day, our 250 years of independence. That's something, don't you think? It's something. We've accomplished a lot. With many nations at times benefiting from us. But we must realize that for both our spiritual freedom and our natural freedom, which we have in this country, a price was paid. It just didn't come easy, guys. Your spiritual freedom is not easy neither. A price was paid. And we'll be looking at that this morning. Jesus died to set mankind free from the bondage of Satan and sin. And each and every day, I believe, as a child of God, should be a celebration of spiritual freedom. For every one of us in this place this morning that's born again, spiritual freedom never came easy. A price was paid. Jesus gave his blood. He rose from the dead so that you and I can celebrate freedom in him. In Galatians 5 verse 1, the Amplified Version and God's Word translation as well. In this freedom, Christ has done what? What does that mean? Made us free. Well, in parentheses, look. And completely liberated us. From what? Satan. From bondage. Stand fast then. Look at that. Stand fast to our fellow American citizens. Stand fast. We've got freedom. Stand fast. Do not be hampered and held, ensnared, and submit again to the yoke of slavery. Nope, 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 nope. We've come out of slavery. We are enjoying freedom. We are not going back to slavery. Spiritually and physically, which you have once put off. Now, look at God's word translation. Christ has freed us so that we may enjoy the benefits of freedom. This country has freedom and we benefit from those freedoms. Therefore, be firm in this freedom. Guys, don't give this freedom up. There's a systematic attack on trying to take these freedoms away. Be alert. There's systematic attack on spiritual freedom from the enemy that wants to enslave again. And you and I are not up to that. We're not going to deal with that. The same with our country. Don't become slaves again. And as we celebrate our nation's freedom, I want us to look at what President Thomas Jefferson said. The First Amendment has created a wall of separation between church and state. But that wall is what? A one-directional wall. It keeps the government from running the church. So far, it has worked. So far, it has worked. In many other nations, the government controls the church. Yet we still have freedom. Systematically, that freedom may erode, that the government will interfere in the church. All depends on what type of government is elected. It keeps the government from running the church, but it makes sure that Christian principles will always stay in government. We are on the cusp of seeing that dissipate. We are seeing erosion taking place. We are seeing systematically the attack on Christianity and Christian values, even within our existing government. We've got to be alert and we've got to pray. Despite what modern politicians and the contemporary media says, America was founded not on the concept of freedom to worship any god, but to worship only one, the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I would submit to you this morning that is not negotiable. That is not negotiable. We will and should continue to serve and worship the triune God, the God of creation. The price of freedom, and I did a bit of research and I'll share with you, the price for freedom for our country, the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence paid a price for pledging their allegiance. The emphasis is pledging their allegiance. The minute you pledge your allegiance to something, the war is on. The battle has begun. Be it for the country or be it for Christianity, wherever you pledge allegiance, there's a battle. Those that pledge the allegiance of the 56 men, their conviction resulted in untold suffering for themselves and their families. Of the 56 men, 5 were captured by the British and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary Army. Another 2 sons were captured. 9 out of the 56 fought and died from wounds of hardship of the war. It is one thing to make a declaration in the comfort of a congressional meeting, but quite different to pay the price in what you believe you've declared your allegiance to. They paid with their blood. Us as Christians, many have paid with their blood. Our forefathers in the Christian faith have paid with their blood. It was big sacrifices that they had to make, but they served God faithfully until the end. Our founding fathers made a bold declaration. They paid a high price, but they also reaped a great reward. The Christian, what about the Christian? We too make a bold declaration. What is our declaration? We've decided to follow Jesus Christ. We call ourselves Christians. We call ourselves born-again Christians. And to every born-again Christian present today, you've made a bold declaration by following Jesus Christ. Will that be attacked? Yeah. At school, for our younger generation, you will be mocked. You will be made fun of. Within the workforce, you too will be attacked for what you believe. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I receive him as my Lord and Savior. The minute you say that, you separate yourself from someone. Someone that is not like-minded. Someone that may not believe what you believe. But you take a stand. You believe in that. You are proclaiming your allegiance to God. And I believe there's one individual that can help us to relate to what we are going through so that we can follow him as he is a follower of Christ in Galatians 5 verse 20, the Amplified Version. He wasn't crucified before. This is Saul, now Paul. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. Now look at it. In him I have shared his crucifixion. And then he comes to the conclusion and he pens it down for you and me. It is no longer I who live. You see, that's what separates us as born-again believers from non-born-again believers. We have been crucified with Christ the minute we accepted him and went through the waters of baptism. It is no longer I who live. But notice, but Christ the Messiah lives in me. And that's how the Bible tells us and why the Bible tells us. Don't you know that your body is what? A temple. A temple of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because I've been crucified with Christ. He lives in me. But Christ the Messiah lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, this body of mine, I live how? By faith. I don't go by sight. In other words, I'm not going to have this yo-yo effect. I live by faith, believing in the concept of God. I live by faith in the fact that I've been forgiven. I live by faith to the one who paid the price for me. And that's why he says, I live by faith in, which means by adherence and reliance on and complete trust in who? So a person that's not born again, where's their trust? Self? Government? What a life. What a life. But for you and I, our reliance and trust is in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. It's a bold declaration to say that. It's a bold declaration to say that everything I own is his. It's a bold declaration to say I want his life to be my life. It's a bold declaration. The declaration is as bold and as powerful as the one Joshua made in Joshua 24, verse 14 and 15. One of my favorite scriptures of the Old Testament, in particular from the Message translation. So now, fear God. That sounds like our forefathers when they came to the country. Fear God. Worship him in total commitment. That's what they did. But notice what it says. Get rid of the gods your ancestors worshipped on the far side of the river Euphrates. And in Egypt, you worship God. What do you find, guys? He's making a declaration, but he's drawing the line in the sand. And then he goes on in verse 15 and he says, but guys, if you decide it's a bad thing to worship God, you see the choice? That same choice is available today. The same choice. Do you want to worship God? No. Who do you want to worship? Anyone but God. Well, go for it. Go for it. If you want to worship anyone but God, that's your choice. You're not going to land up in a good place. If you decide that it's a bad thing to worship God, then choose a God you'd rather serve. But notice and do what? No procrastination. In dealing with people and sharing with people, I hear the common thing. Do you want to give your life to Jesus? I'm going to think about it. What's there to think about? What is there to think about? I'm going to present it to you. Here's the good and the bad. Here's the benefits and here's the rewards. And this, if you don't do it, this is the penalty you're going to pay. So what are you going to think? Well, I've got to think it through. So how long are you going to take to think it through? A day? A month? A year? If you decide that it's a bad thing to worship God, then choose a God you'd rather serve and do it today. No wishy-washy. Make a declaration. Stand for something or fall for everything. And I think we need more of that within the pastoral ministry. For pastors to say, make a decision. Many pastors are procrastinating making decisions because it's going to hurt somebody. Hurt somebody and get on with life. Choose one of the gods. No. He gives them advice. Choose one of the gods your ancestors worshipped from the country beyond the Euphrates River. Or one of the gods of the Amorites on whose land you are now living. And then he makes what? A bold declaration. As for me and my house. Let's say that. As for me, we'll worship God. Bold declaration, right? Bold declaration. A price to pay. God's people had conquered the promised land, Canaan, and were beginning to settle down. They pledged allegiance. And we find like the founding fathers of this nation, they paid a price and we're going to pay a price as well. It's one thing to make a bold declaration in the comfort of a church building, but it's quite another thing to live up to it outside of the church building. So Joshua made this statement. And once he challenged the people as to what he's going to do, told them, you do what you think you need to do or want to do if it's not pleasing for you to serve God, but I want you to make a decision today. Well, we find in Joshua 24 verse 16, the Message translation, the people answered, what did they say? We'd never forsake God. Never. What's the old saying? Never. As a typical example. Never say never. The people answered, we'd never forsake God. Never. You and I know the story. Did they lie? Were they telling the truth? Or was it a truth for that moment only? So that means you can change the truth. You can change your mind. They did. We'd never leave God. Israelites, Hebrews, your track record shows something different. For the least little thing, you left God for the least little thing. And now you're making this commitment? Oh, I wish I could just call Moses back so that he can testify against you. We'd never leave, forsake God. Never. We'd never leave God to worship other gods. What a declaration by the nation of Israel. They were pledging their allegiance to God. But tragically, It didn't last long. I am aware of what's happening within our country. Since the 26 years that Heather and I have been here, we have observed several things. The first thing, which is a carnal thing, our side of the roads aren't as clean as they used to be 26 years ago. The second thing is the litter on the pike has increased dramatically and is no longer as clean as it used to be. Thirdly, most of the towns in our area seems to be in financial difficulties and they taxing the people. The other thing that I've noticed over the 26 years, the value that you held to is no longer so prominent in the country any longer. Why is that so? Is it because we immigrants have come in and we're changing the value system? Is that possible? And so we have found that which you held dear, that you grew up with in this country, those values are not as strong as they used to be. There's an erosion taking place. Systematically, you've got to be alert and aware of what's happening. Tragically, it didn't last long. All you have to do is turn the page over to the book of Judges and you will see recorded how God's people quickly turned away from him. And we will go to Judges 2, verse 11 and 12. Then the Israelites did what? Wait. Just a couple of pages back. We will never forsake God. Never. We'll never leave him. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served what? Baals, Baals, whatever you want to call him. It. Notice in red. They forsook the Lord, contrary to the declaration. And that's why people say, what's the value of a mind if you cannot change it? Well, they changed their mind for the bad. They forsook the Lord, the God of their forefathers, or the God of their fathers, who had what? Brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshiped various gods. How quick that transition happened. How quick. They followed and worshiped various gods of who? The gods of the peoples. And the gods of the peoples are man-made gods. They did not worship the great I Am. They did not continue to worship the God of their fathers. No, they were influenced by the people and started worshiping the people's gods. The minute you and I compromise, the minute the country compromises, we start the downward trend. For us as Americans, maintain the joy of being an American. Maintain the joy of being a child of God. And understand wars are not won by those who only make declarations, who only make claims, who only speak words. Action and commitment is needed. That's why we try and remind each other at Crossroads. If you say you are a Christian, prove it. Prove it. Through your actions. Through your vocabulary, through your behavior, prove it. We know that there are real battles to be fought, real struggles to overcome. We are called in Scripture to finish the race. As a child of God, I must finish the race. For us as Americans, What is the future? What does the future look like? What is the future going to bring us in this country? The way I see it, it's going to be challenging. Am I a doomsayer? No, I'm not. But it all depends on which side of the aisle you want to be. If you want to be on the side of value, you've got to fight on your hands. There's just too many nations that are living differently to you and I in this country. Our freedom is fantastic. There is no country that can beat our freedom. There is no country that can beat our food. Oh, some of you have traveled. I know that, but so have I. Oh, there's some nice food out there. It's small little nations. I mean, you look at Africa. South Africa, on the southern tip of Africa, is the greatest, largest economy on the African continent. 60 million people. Why? Why not Nigeria? 53 or 54 countries in one African continent. And today, most of that is virtually overtaken by socialism. As a matter of fact, we think in our country we are doing harm by sending illegals out. I want to inform you this morning a little bit. Maybe you're aware of it. Our country is not the only country that's doing this. Europe is doing this. As a matter of fact, we are so lenient in this country compared to other countries. Let me give an example. You can Google it and see it. South Africa has given the illegals 1 month to get out of their country. The end of June. When's that? Wednesday? Somewhere around there? Tuesday? Wednesday? Tuesday? By the end of that, they've given them 1 month. People from Malawi, get out. People from Tanzania, get out. People from Mozambique, get out. Old Rhodesia, get out. We're giving you 1 month. If you do not have papers to be in this country, we will burn your place or we'll kill you. Get out. The embassies are loaded. People want to go back to Malawi. Malawi, there's nothing there. Lesotho, there's nothing there. Zimbabwe, there's nothing there. We're giving you 1 month. And you see on the screen, YouTube, thousands of people, young women, babies on their backs, trying to get the embassies and buses to get them back to their countries. So you want to come and talk about this country? You've got no clue what's going on in other countries. And this is not a racist thing in the other countries. It's black on black. And throughout Europe, France has had enough. Germany's had enough. Italy's had enough. Because open borders don't work. Now, I know you. I didn't come here for a political speech. It's not a political speech. I'm done. We know that there are real battles to be fought, real struggles to overcome. But we are called in Scripture to finish the race. Let's stand firm in serving God. Let's fight the good fight. Let's endure. Let's endure the hardships like a good soldier. But we must remain loyal to the commander in chief, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let's remain loyal and obedient to Him. In Luke 9:23, all the way, Living Bible to 26. Then he said, anyone who wants to follow me, anyone It doesn't matter your color. It doesn't matter the creed. It doesn't matter where you've come from. Anyone who wants to follow me must put aside his own desires and conveniences and carry his cross. In other words, God does not fit into your agenda. You fit into his agenda. Amen. And carry his cross with him. How often? No. This is a bad translation. You should have had the Dennis Matters translation, which says, carry your cross when you feel like it. No? I can see you guys already. Stone him! Stone him! Or maybe flag him. Conveniences and carry his cross with him every day. But what do you see the last little bit? Keep close to me. Keep close to me. Because the Bible says, without him I can do nothing. Nothing. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. But whoever insists on keeping his life will lose it. And what profit is there in gaining the whole world? What profit is there in becoming a trillionaire and you don't know Jesus? What profit is there in gaining the whole world when it means forfeiting oneself? When I, the Messiah, come in my glory and in my glory of the Father and the holy angels, I will be ashamed then of all who are ashamed of me and of my words now. Don't be ashamed of him. You've made your declaration. I've made my declaration. I'm a child of the living God, and I'm going to prove it by the way that I live. That's how you and I are going to make that declaration possible. Our forefathers in the natural reaped a great reward. They went through the wars. They went through the difficulties. Their own families were killed, and yet yes, this beautiful country. Can I ask you this morning, can you get to love your own country? Just love it. It's a beautiful country. I believe this morning that they reaped a great reward because we are here 250 years of independence. I think it is young independence. But we also know through history, empires rise, empires fall. Nations rise, nations fall. When is it our time? We're on the downslope. Is this a doomsayer? We are on the downslope. So how long still? I don't know. But that's why love the country today and stand for it. In 1 Peter 1 verses 3 and 4, that's the last scripture. We're going to go a little bit earlier today because we're going to enjoy some good fellowship downstairs. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we've been born again. Because God raised Jesus from the dead. Now, we live with great expectation. Oh, really? What is the great expectation? You know, this is the difference. We can't say that about our country, though. We live with great expectation. No, we got ideals, we got dreams, but we can't say we live with great expectation as a natural country. But as a born-again child of God, you can say, I live with great expectation. Why? Because they're going to see him face to face. And we have a priceless inheritance. Really? How many of you know you've got an inheritance? You know that? You have an inheritance. Can I have it now? No. You first got to die. die? But when I'm dead, I'm dead. No. It's only the body. You're going to get a resurrected body. Don't worry. There's a great inheritance. But notice where this inheritance is kept. In heaven for you. Oh, okay. It's inheritance. It's in heaven. Kept for. Who's keeping this? Can I trust the person who's keeping my inheritance? So now, this is so beautiful. We live with great expectation because we're going to see Jesus. And then, of course, the perks and the benefits that goes with believing Jesus, there's an inheritance. An inheritance that is kept in heaven for you. But notice the environment of this inheritance. Pure, undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. Whoa, this is some inheritance. You ain't seen nothing yet. Let's sum this up. The declaration is bold. Let's read it together as we close. The declaration is bold. Jesus is my Lord. The price is high. Die to self. But the reward is great. Man, you guys are so good. Let's do it again. Just one more time for, I don't know. It just sounds so good. The declaration is bold. The price is high. But the reward is great. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. The clip you are about to watch, writing is small, good message, enjoy. Thanks, Kevin. Thanks, Nicole.
Those whom the Son has set free are free indeed. Yet, freedom has always had its detractors, and persecution has always been the plague of the liberators. It falls to all of us who claim the Master to rise up as freedom's great advocates, and in doing so, regardless of the cost or sacrifice, regardless of the persecution or penalty, we pledge, in a day of increasing compromise and diminishing commitment, we freely make a solemn obligation. We pledge allegiance, our loyalty, a singular offer of a sacred trust. We pledge allegiance to the Lamb, the true source of liberty and justice for all.
I have heard how Christians long ago were brought before a tyrant's throne. They were told that he would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. But one by one, they chose to die. The Son like a great angelic choir sings, I can almost hear their voices ring.
I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will sing.
To embrace the cross, and one by one let us live our lives for the one who died to give us life till the trumpet sounds on the final day. Let us proudly stand and
serve the Lord. Choose this day, who do you want to serve? And as you stand, our musicians are going to come up and they're going to play a beautiful song, God So Loved. And after that, we're going downstairs and we're going to look at all the decorations and a beautiful cake with 250 years on over there. And let's go and celebrate our allegiance to the cross and also our 250th independence. Thank you, Billy. That's a beautiful song they're going to end off with.